You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
The Government Employees Pension Fund that holds the retirement savings of just under 1.3 million civil servants has reported and given us their annual report for the latest financial year. Last year, this time, we caught up with the Principal Executive Officer at the GEPF, Musa Mabesa, to take a look at the performance of the GEPF over the financial year. This year, we're doing it again. I'm joined on the line by the Principal Executive Officer at the GEPF, Musa Mabesa, to take a look at the performance of the GEPF and whether or not the savings of the civil servants are in safe hands. Good evening, Dr. Mabesa. Lovely to speak to you again. The last time you and I spoke, this time last year, we were reflecting on numbers and there was a marginal increase year on year. This year, not so marginal.
Good evening, Jimmy, and thank you for having me on your show. Indeed, there has been a marginal increase of around 2.6% in the market value of our investments from March 2023 to March 2024. But under the tough economic climate that we're experiencing both in SA and globally, we think this is commendable under the circumstances.
Well, for those that are listening out there that want to know what commendable means, what the Principal Executive Officer here is saying is that 61 billion rand has been added in value to that portfolio. The portfolio now sits at 2.3 trillion rand in assets there. Quite an impressive feat considering the tough year that was, as you mentioned, Musa. And obviously, when we look at these sorts of movements, 2% might not seem like a lot, but when it translates to 60 billion rand, it is quite a bit of time. The last time you and I spoke, we had a quick squiz over the updated mandate that was provided to the PIC. And part of that was in line with implementation of some of the Mpati Commission findings that were found prior to you adjusting the mandate. Have all of those recommendations been fully implemented? Are we seeing a fully operational and an optimal mandate at the moment?
Yes, Jimmy, from a GEPF perspective and based on the recommendations of the Mpati Commission of Inquiry report, those recommendations that were meant for the GEPF have been fully implemented. We continue then to improve and work on the relationship between the two entities, and that has been working well for us over the last year since our last update. So we have implemented the new mandate. We continue to monitor the implementation by the PIC. And as you can see with the results that have been delivered under the difficult circumstances, so far so good.
Mm. One of the other things I would imagine you and the team have been monitoring would be the two-pot claims and withdrawals since the 1st of September. This is the first time you and I are getting to catch up since that implementation. We kind of spoke about it very loosely last year to say this was coming, but given that you hold 1.2 million citizens worth of savings and retirement savings in particular, how have you seen, if anything, the changes as a result of the two-pot?
Well, firstly, we welcome the legislation that brought about two-pot in that it brings about compulsory savings. So the two-thirds of members' contributions will now be preserved until retirement age. So that's a positive from this. And then members, on the other hand, those that have emergencies will then have access to the one-third. So that's a welcome development. What we've seen as the GEPF from the 1st of September to date, and I'm speaking as of last week Friday, we are just shy of 380,000 applications for two-pot withdrawals. And that is a value of just over 10 billion rand for the GEPF. And we've paid close to 90% of those and continue to process the remaining claims.
Speaking of payouts, claims, and billions of rands, Musa, I want to move to the movements throughout the year. I noted that there was some 6.5 billion rand in write-offs, increasing by about 5% from the last time you and I spoke about the write-offs. Take me through some of those movements. Obviously, very little you can do about it from a shareholder point of view, but some of the market conditions forcing impairments one way or the other and not necessarily in the best way.
Indeed, Jimmy, and maybe just to clarify, so these are impairments and not yet at the point of being written off because there are prospects of these investments turning around and we could reverse those impairment. As you can see in our annual report for the year that ended March 2024, we had a reversal of impairment of 1.1 billion rand of historical impairment. So again, as you've indicated, the tough economic conditions for some of these operating entities would force situations where the market value of those entities are below what is recoverable, and then would impair that value. But because of the turnaround strategies that have been put in place, the PIC has a team that looks into turnaround and value add. That does give prospects for these entities to be turned around. And from that perspective, we're able then to reverse some of those impairments. So it must be looked in totality, the perspective around the impairments themselves, but to the extent that the GPF through PIC and all our investee companies can be turned around, we're able to reverse those impairments when the situations improve in those entities.
Musa, the balance sheet also has under its liabilities about 1.8 billion rand in unclaimed benefits. Obviously, you would like for the individuals who these monies belong to come forward and claim those. Is that a real concern at the moment? I mean, when you contrast it with the rest of the balance sheet, it's somewhat of a smaller amount, but it could go a long way to helping individuals if they just come forward and claim it.
Jimmy, that is correct. Unclaimed benefits is a very concerning issue for the GPF board, and we're working very hard with our administrator to ensure that we can trace our beneficiaries and pay them out, because that's the object of the fund. But you find that there are instances where some of these payments, though they are classified as unclaimed, they're actually unpaid benefits. So the claimant is known, but there are issues with the claim itself, be it banking details or their tax issues or the inability to trace the right beneficiaries. So there's a whole host of issues that could be adding to that 1.8 billion rand. If you look at the note in our annual report, I think it's note 8, it gives you a breakdown. Some of that money also includes interest on those unpaid benefits. But we have strategies with our administrator and looking industry-wide, because this is an industry-wide issue, to see how we can better manage unclaimed benefits.
It certainly is. We've had various organizations come out and say that they've got unclaimed benefits that people can apply for and that people should probably look into. Musa, the last time you and I spoke, we touched on the exposure to government bonds and in particular parastatal bonds. I see that figure's come down by some 10 billion rand, but in addition to that, on the government bond side, there's no longer any exposure towards Angolan bonds. I hope you didn't do that because of me.
No, not at all. There's investment strategies that the PIC employs on our behalf, and they will then match the requirements of the fund to what is available in the market, and looking as well as at the attractiveness of these bonds. So that's the function of the investment strategies at play.
Absolutely. And that investment strategy is what has been paying dividends. I mean, when we look at the rest of the portfolio, we see that there's been some liquidations from some of the major listed shares into some new products and new equities that the PIC has done over the year. And I suppose they'll continue to do that. Musa, I wanted to get your thoughts on something from an infrastructure perspective. We're in this new age of a government of national unity. There's been a lot of talk about infrastructure development and the likes. And when looking at the GEPF's balance sheet, there's very little fixed asset exposure from a PPE point of view. Could the GEPF, outside obviously of the mandate that you've given to the PIC, you still have an additional 18% of funds that you can deploy. Could you be interested in the right kinds of infrastructure projects or the right kinds of infrastructure assets to bolster that line item on the balance sheet?
Look, Jimmy, we do believe in infrastructure and the catalytic nature of infrastructure in getting the economy going and ensuring that we can secure jobs, get the economy as well, moving and sustaining the economy of the country, because without a positive South African economy, there is no GEPF. So we do believe in infrastructure investment. The PIC has been mandated to invest in infrastructure investment, and this cuts across multiple asset classes. So it's not only one type of infrastructure-related industry, but it cuts across multiple asset classes. So we do have exposure to infrastructure through our listed instruments, as well as our bonds, and as well as in the alternative asset space. And that's something that the PIC is focusing heavily on, and will continue to look for bankable projects in that space and assist where we can.
Well, so there were some security breaches around the administration agency, the pension funds administration agency that you deal with. Is that at a level where you can be more concerned? Is it under control? Can you give us some color around what happened there from a security point of view? Were there hackers involved?
Yes, indeed. The initial indications, and we have been dealing with the information regulator as required by law. We've reported the breach in February and March this year. The attempt by these hackers was to gain access to our administration systems, and the risk was to our member data. We did indicate some sort of breaches that had been incurred, but the fund has made means to make sure that we find preventative measures and improve the security posture of our administration system and the infrastructure. So all the necessary protocols have been followed, and we continue to monitor some of the attempts on our website as well as the infrastructure at our administrator. So that has been contained, and we believe there's minimum damage to members and their data, but we continue to respond in line with the prepared legislation in this regard.
Musa, before I let you go, there were some developments on the human capital side of it. I believe the position of chair has recently become vacant at the GEPF. I want to get your thoughts around that vacancy, and where do people send their CVs? I'm asking for a friend.
Well, the board, in terms of the GEP law, will nominate and elect the chair from within its own ranks. So based on the GEP law, the makeup of our board is defined, where the government and through the Minister of Finance will appoint 8 trustees, and representatives of members and pensioners will appoint the other 8. And from those 16 trustees, they will then elect a chairman of the board. So that process will be followed in due course. So there's no CVs that should be submitted. There's a process in terms of our law that enables the board to elect a chair from within its own ranks.
Keep calm. The succession plan is underway. We'll leave it at that. Musa, thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Musa Mabesa, Principal Executive Officer of the GEPF, that's the Government Employees Pension Fund, joining us to take a look at the performance of the pension fund over the last year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.